As we join together our hearts and our minds this morning for this edition of our virtual worship connection, I do so with many exciting announcements. If you read the email that accompanies this message, you'll have encountered several of them. Among them, you'll notice that we have set the dates for our virtual book study sessions on Barbara Brown Taylor's Learning How to Walk in the Dark. We will do this every other Saturday, beginning with the first Saturday in March at 4 p.m. Pacific time. There's still time to get your book and to sign up. I will send the Zoom link out to everybody. And so if you can't join us for all of them, feel free to come and stop by for one, two, or just a half of a session just to stay high. We would love to have you join us and to see familiar faces from near and far as we begin this book study together. The other exciting thing I have to share with you is that this week, Bronwyn and I put together and she mailed out the Lent boxes for Lent 2022, and there will be a spiritual practice every day that I invite you to do with me, and we will do this for all 40 days of Lent. For those of you who live in the area or who are members of the church that have moved away, you should be receiving a box in the mail sometime very soon. Those did go out. If you have somebody in your friend or family circle that would like to participate and who didn't receive a box, or if you yourself are connected to the church in some way and you would like a box, or maybe you have just discovered us and you've never heard of us before and you want to participate, that is fine as well. Just email me and let me know that you are interested, and we will put a box together and send to you. In this email, I did include the guide that you will receive in the box. We've printed them off for everyone. However, I wanted to give you a little bit of a sneak peek, and there's a photograph of what some of the things you will be receiving will be, and you can take a look at, it's about a 33-page guide, and it's broken down like a calendar, so every day there is something for you to do. And it's not something that's always church-related. I've always believed that sacred practices need to be things that are outside the four walls of the church. They are things that we see that make us think about something deeper, that make us take a moment of gratitude, or they give us a moment of inexplainable joy, something in our lives that helps us see the spark of the holy and the spark of the divine in places that we might not normally have seen it. So I invite you to join me on this, and this will be an exciting way that we continue to live into our mission of doing and being church differently as a hybrid community. And that is really a perfect way to segue into the scripture reading, which is assigned for this week, which is a continuation in the Gospel of Luke of Jesus's teachings with the disciples. And it fits our theme of doing church differently. We are now a hybrid congregation. We've just gone through a global event that's unlike anything that's ever happened before. And now we are being faced with a very new reality. Now, this is very similar to the situation that Jesus found himself in the scripture that we heard read in this worship email. Jesus is all about here bringing about a new way of doing things, a very different world, God's world, very different from the world that everyone had been inhabiting. And in this world, Jesus is turning the rules on their head. He is saying things that were counterintuitive to what people would have thought the ways of the world were at that time. If you remember last week, we heard Jesus say, "Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who don't have enough to eat. Blessed are those who find themselves in a state of grief. Blessed are those who are hurting." And I said that this is not that Jesus is glorifying poverty or saying that that's a preferred way of life, but rather Jesus is taking the world and turning it around. At that time, the word blessed was actually used to indicate those who were so fortunate and so lucky that they didn't even live in the normal world with the regular people. People who were blessed were people who were so far off from anything that anyone else could ever comprehend or imagine. And Jesus is taking a word which would have been very familiar to people and is totally shifting the way it's supposed to be understood and its meaning. Blessed are those who are poor now, instead of blessed are those who are so wealthy that they don't even have to understand the way the world works. Blessed are those who are poor. Blessed are those who hunger. Jesus is, in Luke, turning and shifting things. He's understanding that God's economy is an economy that's way different than any that has previously existed. And so God is concerned, and Jesus is talking about ways that all people can thrive in God's realm. And this requires a different ethos from that which was customarily in place. And Jesus begins to list a bunch of imperatives that describe behavior for those who are listening to him. Among them we hear, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is not telling us to not be smart about the way that we interact in a situation of conflict. This is not asking us to give everything we have without thinking through things. This is not asking us to take abuse, and if someone hits us, to then turn so that we can be hit again. This is not asking us to engage in behavior that would harm us. Rather, when Jesus says this, he's using it as an idiom for insult, to not engage in insult needlessly, to not engage in a conflict in which would require us to see another person as less than the child of God that they are. It's asking us to really think about and to consider the humanity and the dignity of everyone that we come in contact with, especially those with whom we are in conflict, especially those whom it's very difficult for us in those instances to see these good things and to see their goodness as a child of God. And Jesus finishes this up with what we know to be as the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do to you, which asks us to think and to be aware of the way in which we treat people and the way in which we move and inhabit in the world, the way in which we occupy and exist in space, the ways that we make other people feel, and the ways that we might help be someone who shines light and truth and beauty into the life of someone who needs it. This reminds me of a meditation, which I learned in divinity school, which is incredibly powerful if done right. And it's one that is included in the spiritual practices that we're going to do together for Lent. So you'll have an opportunity to actually do this. But it's called Tonglen. In Tibetan, Tonglen means to give and to receive. This comes out of Tibetan Buddhism. And what it is it's a breath exercise, and it asks us to focus and meditate on loving kindness, which is a complete love and goodwill for all of creation, something that no one has to earn or that it's not deserved. It's just loving kindness is kindness, compassion, and empathy for all of the world. And it asks us to hold loving kindness in our heart and to breathe in the suffering or anxiety or whatever uncomfortable emotions someone might be going through of someone we deeply love. This would be our family member, our sibling, our mother, our father, our children. To imagine someone whom you truly love and to breathe in their suffering and to breathe out nothing but goodness and compassion for them. And then the second step is you do the same thing, but you do it for somebody that you feel agnostic about. This could be a total stranger. It could be a waiter or waitress that you encountered at a restaurant. You imagine that person, that specific person. You don't even need to know their name. And you breathe in, and you take on their suffering, and you breathe out, and you imagine that you are breathing out at them all of the loving kindness that you have within you. And then the third step is, after you've done this for someone that you love and for someone that you're agnostic about, you do this with someone that has made you suffer, with someone who was unkind to you, with someone you've had a conflict with someone you would not take pleasure in seeing right now. And this is the hard part. You breathe in their suffering and you breathe out loving kindness for that person. And the idea is that if you do this slowly and in a meditative state, as the monks do in Tibet, and you start with someone that's easy, somebody that you already love, and you move then to somebody that you are agnostic about, and then you move into somebody that's a real challenge, then you've really started to practice and harness these feelings of loving kindness, these feelings of what Jesus is really talking about here in Luke, of not allowing ourselves to be abused or to take mistreatment, but rather thinking mindfully about how we deal with those that we are in conflict with, how we think about the ways that the words that we say and the way that we inhabit the world, how that might impact someone else. I'm looking forward to exploring this further, because there's so much overlap between the scripture that we read and what we talk about here, as well as the spiritual practices that I learned all throughout my journey and that I'm looking forward to sharing with you. I hope that you have a wonderful week and that you too are blessed in whatever way, shape, or form you are right now, with all of the anxieties or the joys and celebrations or the concerns that are on your heart, that you know that in God's world, you are blessed. May it be so. Amen.